the 7th of September 2018, from the Lucy Coleman Studio in Los Angeles, California. I guess it's around 5:30 in the morning here. Thank you for coming to my website today. Strange behavior. I have witnessed the behavior of politics for most of my adult life. Nothing surprises me anymore. And so the shenanigans that took place on Capitol Hill yesterday by the Democrats and the obvious frustration of the Republicans basically embarrassed me. What's needed is a dose of love in this country, but how can one analyze the need of love in this country if politics are involved in such a way that it takes away the heart of our republic? This is PJ, your internet pastor. That's right. No pulpit. I have somewhat of a library behind me here in the studio. I must take some current pictures and show you how things look. A little shabby in the office because I'm getting rid of more stuff than I really need. But I'd like to share with you. I was going through my stacks and I found this little essay that I did. There's no date on it, but I can tell that it should be an interesting piece. I was handwriting to a professor of mine, and he says this makes some good points. Clearly responding to the assignment. Why did he say that? I'm held captive of the audience of his pen because I don't recall what I wrote. I don't recall why I wrote it. He must have written me and asked me what I thought of education, because at this time, I believe by the handwriting and by the shading of the paper, it was in the early 70s when I had entered upon East LA Junior College through a downtown Civic Center class given by that same institution. As a matter of fact, as I glance up top, my first degree was issued by East LA Junior College in Governmental Supervision and Management. Way back in the 70s. So it's going to be interesting as I read this. And I'm going to fade down a little bit of up and down the scale music from Herbie Hancock. That's right, from an album entitled Gershwin's World. One of my favorite pieces of music by Herbie. A school is a place of learning. One may choose to attend a trade school to learn skills at painting, auto mechanics, or other arts. But the university that I attend is set up with one purpose. Okay, so I must have been in Cal State University then, Dominguez Hills, that's where I was going, to equip one as a professional. Oh, this I wrote back in the early 80s. If the university fails in the attempt at equipping me or any other person at becoming the artful person that he or she can, that system ought not continue in its purpose. One also must understand that the educational system is no better than the student that attends it. If the student is not committed to study, the university stands to show only the single fact of competency. I am the final process of the university, for I become the finished project. If this or any system of higher education is worth its weight in paper and ink, it must push its students to their limit. Then and only then can one know beyond any question the answer of such a question which asks, what is the purpose of a university? And he wrote and he said, this makes some good points, clearly responding to the assignment. That was back in, let's see, when did I attend? From 1986 to, from 1982 to 1986. Yeah. Because I was married, raising children, young men, I think, in my 40s, something like that. What an interesting, interesting piece of work. Think I could have been a politician? I doubt that. Politics wasn't my thing. Boy, this is something. You know, I think I'll hold on to this because upon my passing away, someone really may want to see this. Oh, and let me say this on today's date. Do you like the facelift that I've given my website? Because I have discovered, and thanks be to God, that my web server, those people have been helping me do my work, and I'm straightening up this messy old web page that I have. But as a matter of fact, I don't know how to keep the count or the hits on it, but I'm getting about 20 or 30 hits a day. So if I multiply that every day, I know how many people come to the website. And please share my website with your friends, and so more people can come to it. If there was more love in the U.S. Senate on the behalf of the Republicans as well as the Democrats, I think that we would way far better than we have. When it comes to picking Supreme Court judges and things like that. Now, here's a great little suggestion for you. There is a movie starring Orson Welles, Edward G. Robinson, and Loretta Young. It's an old movie, because all three of those people are dead, but their memory hangs on in the movie called The Stranger. And it is a movie concerning a Supreme Court justice who has a daughter that falls in love with a Nazi that escapes Germany and comes to America and living in Connecticut and wants to revive Nazism, and how they identify a stranger in their midst. A good movie for both Republicans and Democrats, I think, to see. You may be able to find it on your web browser. I haven't, in one of those old movies that I have. Years ago, I went to a bookstore and bought a packet of movies, and this movie was embedded in it. When I was a college professor, I would show this movie in my ethics class, and they would have to write a paper after seeing the film, and it was quite an interesting endeavor. Hey, listen, I want to say this before I start reading this next article entitled Love, I guess. The title page was not on here. Let me take a look. I think I call this Love, A Matter of Importance. And here again, no date, but it was typed on an electric typewriter. This was before computers. And this was one of the papers in my stacks. Let me pause and thank God that I feel better, because I have hundreds and hundreds of pages of paper and work that I've done. It made me think about the Supreme Court Justice, people talking about his papers, and they want to read all the hundred thousands of things that he's written, the thoughts that came through his head. Well, I said, I think I'll put something up what went through my head years ago and see how I fare thee well with that. See, everybody's talking about what he wrote. Well, what about what I wrote? Did that make any sense? And I hope that you're sharing my website with your friends, really. Especially if you're a senior citizen, because I'm changing the tone of it. I am a mind that's thinking independently of anyone else, especially preachers. Don't let preachers get in your head. Now, let me say this, because I don't dare want it to appear that I'm against the man of God, the true minister of God, one that is dedicated to serving people on a level that God would be pleased, and not necessarily a human level. I'm not against all preachers. I'm against charlatans. I'm against those that do not represent God in the correct way. Now, let's go back and look at this situation on love. Love, a matter of importance to all involved within lasting relationships. What are the reasons for this unique response, which causes men to cling close, to kill, or to consume each other? This reaction, this entanglement of massive emotions, which arouse extreme emotions within humankind. Love is what we call it. Love with all of its pros and its cons. We hear about it in our love songs. Love is a many splendid thing. Love makes the world go round. You put this love in my heart. Wow, that really ages this writing, because these love songs, some of the millennials that are listening to me, you'll have to look that up in your internet browser to find out what that is. We are flooded with what we like to think we call the nature of love, the meaning of love, the coldness, warmness, lasting, endlessness, the complexities of this strange attribute called love. Therefore, we are left with a task so important, so great, so intense, that many before us have endeavored to define the cause and the consequences of this so great effect on mankind. What is the nature of this love? What is its genesis? From where does this thing called love derive? Can it be produced in a test tube? Do all who say I love you No. Can they really comprehend the manifest nature of their words? How can one know? Let's look closer and determine its validity. Now, thus far in reading this, I'm finding it interesting, because I'm saying, gee, John, you just gave a whole bunch of cotton-picking words to an attribute that practically no one wants to talk about these days. As in all languages, love carries with it certain connotations, which in order to establish itself, dictates meanings as well as understandings. As we look into the word love, we find ourselves pressured into the idea of defining the context of the word. First, let us see where the word love takes us in terms of our language and understanding. It can be understood as a word which holds spiritual, I can't read this word, comradeship, I guess that is, I didn't spell it correctly, or fellow love. It could also mean sexual desire or sexual contact. These are vague definitions of somewhat of a very difficult subject. One goes, therefore, to the only true source. This source displays for us, the reader, or the listener in this case, since I'm reading it myself, a deeper, more subjective explanation of the term. And then I start with definition number one, and it's at the top of the scale of my definition of this terminology. I hope that it doesn't offend you that I start here, but this is where I've always begun with that. Agape. The term denotes the highest form of love which can be experienced. This holds the meaning of eternal love, perfect, the type which a supreme God would have towards men. This love is contrasted with the other forms of love that can be experienced. This love is of a nature that it only asks for the benefit of the other person and nothing for itself. A pure state of affection which only exists within the person who knows that they can affect this as they yield themselves to its total cost. Wow, that is amazing. I wrote that? I had to. Man, so many years ago, college was a wonderful thing. It just gave me the opportunity. That's why I try to tell you youngsters that listen to PJ, go to school. As a matter of fact, I have a young man. He called me yesterday, young Filipino. And he said, Mr. Coleman. And I told him, son, I'm not going to come back to the college and teach. He took all of my philosophy classes and said he's coming by next week and he wants to take me to lunch. Now, that's love. And he says, I just got to pick up a little bit of that wisdom from the old man. Now, you know that keeps me alive. And I like that. Let me get into my second definition. Eros. In the early Greek mythology, this was the god of love, or sex. This type of love would be possessive, a binding to the other person. If the other person did not want anything to do with the person who loved them, this is not the type of love that others seek in a true relationship, for this eros can only be defined as a type of pleasurable experience which leads to the further, deeper, sensual experience. This eros is where we gain the meaning of the erotic. Again, there are those who live for this type of love alone. It is my understanding that these types of people live for the moment and not for the future. For if the person from which their affection changes, this love relationship becomes strained. There is reason enough within our society to understand the high divorce rate. Eros does not help. Boy, that was quite a temperate definition of love. I mean, that must have been early John Coleman, because when you go to my YouTube clips and look up pornos, when I define where that area of love, eros, is kind of embedded in the language, you will pick it up. You just go to John Cole 1234 on the YouTube page and you see all my video clips. I got about 475 clips up there, and some of the stuff is old, some of it is, well, all of it's old, because with the new computers I don't know how to put YouTube clips up anymore. Let me read the third definition. Philia. This is a kind of love that most of us display towards each other. This love is not threatening. I would call this safe love, the kind of love that can be observed or not defined at all. This is a kind of love that men have for men and don't have to worry about being over affectionate. I like that. The kind of love that women can have and become close, really, with each other in a platonic social relationship. Phileo denotes personal affection, a fondness. It holds the meaning of a force which attracts one to the other. The force could be something held in common, the color of one's skin, the religion which one believes in, the family ties that bind the people together, rather than force which repels. This type of love draws its adherents tightly into a personal bond. This type of love is only defined within the context of the relationship itself. Those on the outside may view this relationship abnormal, especially if they have not experienced phileo for themselves. We are therefore left with the task of defining what we mean by love. Then we can use its terms. We must be aware that when using the term, there comes a great responsibility to define what we mean by what we say. Now, the senators in Washington could have tapped in on that yesterday as well as today, because I think that that is what's needed if we are going to be progressive in what we're saying. Within our society, many within our society will not take the time to prove what they mean when they say, "Oh, I love you," thereby causing confusion when the wrong use of the term establishes itself by a way that acts towards the person that we say we love. What a statement. And then I wrote, I said, I would not go so far to say that a person does not love another person if they do not display attitudes in the same way that I do. One must keep within the context of the framework of the person's worldview what love means to the individual. Wow. But I've always left that determination to be there. Now let me end up with the last of the paragraphs of this, and then you'll understand exactly what I'm saying about this. Wow. And it says, and here it is. So, we are left where we began, within a dilemma. There is conflict of understanding, reasoning, or purpose when defining such a broad statement as what it means to love another person. There lived a great poet, Paul Laurence Dunbar. He wrote of love a few years ago. Ooh, wow, I even used Dunbar as I was writing a statement on love. I can't believe this, John. You are something else. Let me read this statement. Oh, my goodness. This is what I said. It says, one of the most meaningful phrases which remains with me to this day is from one of his many poems called Love Phases. This form is the last stanza of the poem. Okay, I just have the last stanza of it. And this is what Dunbar wrote. And for those of you that don't know who Paul Laurence Dunbar is, he is one of the most well-known famous black before the poetry prose came out, Dunbar. I have his beautiful little book, The Poems by Paul Laurence Dunbar. This is what he wrote. Love hath the voice of the storm at night, wildly defiant. Hear him and yield your soul to his might. Tenderly plaint, none shall regret him who heed him aright. Love hath the voice of the storm at night. And then I end up the writing and says, we need this love. In all of its uniqueness, we crave the closeness, the manners of the warmness, the comfortable human expression of companionship, which we gather from day to day, year to year. We need love. All of us require its fanciful fruits, which offer a knowledge of knowing that we too matter. In closing, show me a person that has not been loved, and I shall show you a person on his or her way out of this life. There must be the love offered to all. There is no discrimination with love. It must have its way. There are those who might display a negative resentment towards this way, or towards those that can offer without effort this love. But we must love them also, for they have the greatest need of its unique gift. I long for a world of true agape love, for this is indeed the love which causes humankind to proceed on with the cause of our kind. For you see, we are a unique species. Within our hearts dwells the fullest capacity to love, hate, regret, confer, associate, annihilate, agitate, and so forth. We can love without inhibition. Will we as a people? That is the lasting test of all time. Ooh, John Coleman. John Coleman. I don't know when I wrote this. This was a piece that I shall never forget. And I'm so glad. That's my analysis of the political affront. If anything, those folk in Washington need to let me read some of my papers. Got stacks of them. Think I'll take a picture of it and put it up on the website when I put this piece up. Okay? Okay. God bless. Listen, till you come back again, take a few minutes to listen to the pastor. I'm praying that you may love those around you. You're going to the office and to work? You're going to go shopping today? You're going to take care of your business? You're going to do all of that? Do it in love. Do it in love. Do it in the most precious attribute that God has given each and every one of us. Matters not whether you're black, white, Asian, Hispanic. Love. Just simply love. God bless. Have a nice day. Thank you.